Ehud approached the king while he was sitting alone in the upper room of his summer palace and said, "I have a message from God for you." As the king rose from his seat, Ehud reached with his left hand, drew the sword from his right thigh, and plunged it into the king's belly. Even the handle sank in after the blade, which came out the back. Ehud did not pull the sword out, and the fat closed over it.
I love this story.
It's real life Jabba the Hutt.
It is. It's so gross.
Hey, my name's May.
And my name's Eric. And this is Too Long Didn't Read.
Too Long Didn't Read is an irreverent look at a reverent book. It's a podcast about the Bible. This season, we're uncovering the Bible stories you didn't learn in preschool. These aren't cute. There aren't coloring pages for them. They're violent, weird, scandalous. And they're part of the Bible for a reason. Wonder why? So do we.
Today on Too Long Didn't Read, we're talking political espionage, murder, and Jabba the Hutt levels of fat. This story is weird. You know, you read the Bible or you talk about the Bible and you think like, oh, it's nice and, you know, there's stories about God loves you and, you know, there's some Jesus in there somewhere and all of that. And none of the classical ways you talk about the Bible involve a dude stabbing a guy so fat that the fat closes up and envelops the whole sword. Like that, none of that ever made it in the kids' coloring books. You know, it doesn't show up anywhere.
Who was Ehud?
So this is a period of the Old Testament part of the Bible where there was an early period where you had leaders like Moses and Joshua, and then later they had kings. In the in-between time, they had judges. And when we think judge, we think somebody in big long robes with a hammer that, you know, pronounces sentence on somebody. And these judges were less like that and more like combination political leader. They would be the military leader. Like they had some elements of being a king without the title and without being recognized as like, you're the supreme authority. The idea was God was the supreme authority and this person would be elevated for a period of time to accomplish something. Ehud is one of these judges that gets raised up to free the people from the oppression of this nation called Moab and their king, the very fat Eglon.
Eglon sounds like a fat dude's name.
It does. It really does.
Is that insensitive?
Probably. If you look at the whole story, it kind of happens in two sections, all right? This is in Judges chapter 3. The first part of the story is that Ehud and some other people who we don't know their names come to Eglon to give tribute. Here's our yearly or monthly or whatever tribute that we owe you as a nation. We've come to present this to you. That whole group leaves. And then Ehud turns around. Once kind of he's left with that group, he turns and comes back by himself. And says to, you know, to Eglon and to the king, like, I have a secret message for you. Eglon essentially says, I want silence so I can receive this. And all of his attendants, like, go to, like, okay, we're supposed to step out. This is supposed to be a private thing. So they all step out. And, you know, if you imagine this gigantic dude starts to stand up and Ehud just runs up real quick, pulls this sword out.
Why are you letting a guy in with the king who has a sword strapped to him?
Well, you don't know he has a sword strapped to him.
They don't check guys for swords?
If you're right-handed, you strap it to your left hip. So you can draw it. It's very hard to draw a sword from the same side as your dominant hand. Being left-handed is rare. It was even more rare then than it is now because it was looked down upon. In history, being left-handed was a sign of potentially being cursed, being distrusted, being like, there's all kinds of stuff associated with being left-handed. So kids that were left-handed would often be retrained to use their right hand.
Okay.
At that time, you didn't assume that somebody was going to be left-handed. You know, it was a rarity.
Can you give me your best sound impression of what you think that sword sounded like? Disgusting.
But that, none of this actually is my favorite part of this story. Even beyond the fact that the fat closed up around the sword and that this guy was left-handed and all of that sort of stuff is how Ehud makes his getaway. So they're up in this upper, you know, the king's royal chamber, basically. he slips out super fast.
And Jason Bourne style.
Jason Bourne style and locks the door behind him. Well, when a body dies, all of the stuff that, like, the body naturally holds in kind of just gets released.
We're really getting specific.
Poo everywhere, right?
I'm listening.
All of his attendants of this king come to the door, coming to see if the king needs anything, smell this, and go, oh, he's taking a dump. And this is a doozy. Like, man, we better not disturb him. So they leave him in there. And eventually they start knocking. Are you okay? And finally, after getting no response for the longest time, they have to go track down the key, unlock the door, discover that their king is, you know, been murdered, by which time Ehud is long gone. So poop saved the day.
It always does. So what? Tell me, though, what was in it for Ehud to kill this guy?
He's the king of this nation that's oppressing them.
Okay.
So it's like you strike the leader, and now that nation's in disarray, and now Israel's army has a chance to press that advantage, which is what they ended up doing, and pushing back the armies of Moab and kind of winning their freedom again and all that sort of stuff.
Why does this story not just go like this? Israel had a judge named Ehud who killed a king named Eglon. Then the Israelites were prosperous for a time. Why do they talk about the fat king in Poop Saves the Day and all that stuff?
Why would you give all those details?
I mean, it's a better story, for sure. No pun intended, but it adds some color. I don't know. I mean, it makes for an interesting story. It shows that the Bible is not just this piece of drab literature.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that encourages my curiosity will get me to come back to it. So for me, it makes me like the Bible more. It's kind of fascinating that that's a part of God's story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think?
The detail is fascinating.
The fact that God would be interested in the details of something enough to choose someone specifically capable to accomplish a particular task. If he knows, I'm going to choose the left-handed guy to do this thing, then it means there's hope for me. God is not necessarily automatically looking for the tallest, the strongest, the fastest, the most powerful, like all of those sorts of things. God can use anyone. God can use the things that are looked down on. You know, God is interested in the details, the unique ways that he's made me, and intends to use those for things. Like, it gives me encouragement. Through the whole book of Judges, you have this same rhythm that keeps happening. And it's, stop me if this sounds familiar to life then or life now. God would give the nation of Israel something really good. They would, you know, they would be happy. They would be free. It'd be season of good times. And then over time, they would start doing all of the things that he said, don't do these things. And then some other nation would come in and conquer and oppress them for a while. And then they would go, God, please help us. You know, where are you? Come rescue us. And God would raise up one of these judges to come and rescue them. And then they would be free again. And then they would start screwing up again. And then they'd get conquered. It was just this cycle of over and over and over.
So he loves them so much that he just keeps saving them. What's in that for God? Why does he love them so much? Why does he keep saving them?
Why does he love any of us so much? That's part of who he is. Forget the whole story of the Bible. Like, I look at my own life and go, I don't know why you keep forgiving me. I'm really, really thankful that you do, and I'm really glad that you continue to do, but I wouldn't keep forgiving me, you know?
Yeah.
But even in this part of the Bible where we don't typically associate it with being, you know, a place where you see God's love and mercy and forgiveness, it's there in that rhythm. He keeps rescuing them over and over and over and over.
Allow me to mansplain. It's like mansplaining, but it's me doing it. So basically, part of the reason this story about Ehud is in the Bible is because it is a really fascinating single look at something that kept happening over and over again, which is that, like you said, the Israelites needed help. They kept messing up and getting conquered, and God would always send somebody to bring them back to wholeness again.
Yes.
And this just happens to be one of the best versions of that story because fat king, sword in the belly, crap all over the floor.
Yeah, it's a particularly action-packed and graphic example of the same thing that kept happening, you know, generation after generation.
I've always wondered why that story was in the Bible.
Too Long Didn't Read is a production of Crossroads Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Thanks for listening. But you definitely shouldn't take just our word for it. Read the story of Ehud and the Fat King for yourself in Judges chapter 3, verses 12 to 30, and let us know what you think about it. What does this story tell you about God? What does it tell you about your own life? Send us anything you think. No, not anything. Send us thoughts on the story to podcast@crossroads.net. We'd love to take the conversation further. Also, special thanks to our friend Jacob Durbin for the original music. Find more music from his band Flying Things on iTunes or Spotify.
And is it Ehud or Ehud? Or
Ehud?
How
do you say it?
I've always read it as Ehud.
Ehud?
Okay. I'm now like second guessing the pronunciation.
All right.